which is not compensable, or which ultimately is determined to be not compensable. Those costs are passed on through premiums to Alaska employers, and the burden on those employers is already substantial, and I think this would make it higher. So I urge you not to enact the second section of HB 274. If you consider that there is a problem here, I encourage you to explore options and offer to be available to assist the legislature in looking at those options if that's appropriate. But please do not enact HB 274. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there any comments with Mr. McKeever? Thank you. Next, we'll go to Kathy Collins.
Hello, my name is Kathy Collins, and I'm the claims administrator for Arica Insurance Exchange. Arica is an insurance company for electrical and telephone utilities through the state of Alaska. It's composed of 22 members. Personally, I have 18 years' experience as a work comp adjuster in Alaska. I'm voicing my concern and Arica's concern about Section 2 of the proposed amendment to Section 2, AS 233110 of the Act regarding expedited hearings for medical treatment.
We have an amendment.
The proposed subsection suggests that injured workers are denied medical treatment in a timely manner with resultant physical harm. Based on my own experience as a claims adjuster, I was not able to think of any cases where physical harm resulted to an injured worker because I had denied medical treatment. My experience is that in cases where there's serious physical harm that's imminent, those cases are clear-cut because they're usually tied to traumatic injury, and it's obvious the injury is work-related. The issue of authorization for medical care oftentimes arises in cases where the relationship with the condition or injury is not clear, and by their very nature, these cases are complex and require expert medical review, often by the injured worker's physician, the independent medical evaluator selected by the insurance carrier and the employee, and often by the SIME process and the board.
Thank you.
Allowing the board to schedule an expedited hearing when the injured worker is requesting medical care doesn't allow the employer due process. It doesn't allow the employer and insurance carrier time to investigate the relationship of the condition to the employment. Doesn't allow time to obtain a medical release from the injured worker, request medical records, and have them reviewed by medical experts. Due process is served when the system allows both the employee and the employer to be able to present their cases with all available information. The proposed amendment to the Act denies this process. Furthermore, the language is vague. What is physical harm? Does physical harm constitute a life-threatening situation, or could it be construed to be for a back surgery when the injured worker has pain, a worsening pain? What does expedited mean? 5 days, 2 weeks? A month. In an expedited history hearing involving an issue of medical treatment to avoid physical harm, what disability issues are going to be addressed? Will the board be limited to compelling the employer to pay for medical care, or will it also address disability benefits such as time loss? If the condition is later found with expert medical testimony to be unrelated to employment, the employer will have no recourse to recoup the disability benefits that it's paid. In summary, it's my experience the situation to which this amendment was formulated happens very rarely and in complicated cases which need time for preparation. Furthermore, the amendment is ambiguous in its wording as to what constitutes physical harm to the injured worker. Thank you for allowing me to testify, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, is there any questions or comments from the committee? Next, we'll go to Ms. I can't pronounce your last name clearly, so I'll just say thank you. Go ahead with the testimony.
Okay, my name is Claire Horatica, legally as Clarice. I'm the claim manager for Umelik Insurance Company. We're a small company owned by a North Slope Native Corporation. And I have been involved with workers' compensation claims since 1979. I forget exactly what year I got licensed, but it was a long time ago. I, too, cannot think of any case where an employee suffered because they were denied medical treatment. I can think where I have scheduled a second opinion, and I have later had an employee thank me because in the IME, course of treatment was recommended that they hadn't previously considered and that had benefited them. And I myself have been reading injured or reading physicians' reports since 1979, and yet I don't feel that I am qualified to comment or make a decision regarding what medical treatment a claimant should have. I think that is something that a medical person needs to do, a doctor, someone who specializes in the injured worker's area of injury. So when we're going to have a board or the board designee determine that there's an issue of medical treatment, I'm wondering how they would be competent to do that. This can be a very, very serious matter, and I don't think that it should be done by a board or a board designee. I think it needs to be done by a doctor or a panel of doctors, or at least that should be the recommendation. So I am heartily against Section 2 and would urge you not to pass it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions or comments? Next, Mike Klawitz, is that?
Actually, Klawitzer.
Oh, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Excuse me. I'm the risk manager, director of risk management for the Anchorage School District. We have approximately 5,800 employees, which we self-insure workers' comp for. And I believe that House Bill 274 substantially impacts the school district of Anchorage in a negative way. Not to beat a dead horse, but basically to echo Mr. McKeever and Mrs. Jackson's, Mrs. Wilkes, and Ms. Daniels' comments. You know, the Section 2 with the expedited hearing, I think, negatively impacts the way that Anchorage School District does business and gains very little for any employees that we have. And also just comment that the physician's licensing is redundant and unnecessary. So I would urge that with those two items at hand that you would reject House Bill 274 at this point. I thank you for your opportunity.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else there in Anchorage LIO that would like to testify to House Bill 274? And thank you. Ms. Williams, I want to go back to Ms. Williams. Are you still there?
Mr. Chairman, she's actually left.
Oh, okay. I she got mad at me. I couldn't tell whether she was spoke for or against the bill.
I think she ended up saying she was against this bill because she wants a stronger one.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone here in Juneau that would like to testify to the bill? Do we have any questions or comments from the committee?
Oh, I got some.
Paul, do you want to testify?
I want to ask him a question or two.
Okay, you better. You need to testify, Paul.
I guess I have to take my turn on the rack here. For the record, I'm Paul Grassi. I'm the Director of Workers' Compensation for the state of Alaska. The department supports this bill. We think it's one of those minor changes. I'm not sure that I understand all the testimony that was given here today. But I'd be willing to answer questions on some of the concerns.
Senator Torgerson.
Let me start out. Well, when I got out of the testimony, they don't like Section 2, because it doesn't provide a fair opportunity for, I'll say, one of the other parties to have their own doctors look at them or prepare themselves for a hearing. Just your comments on that first, and then I'll go into a couple more questions.
Okay. There may be occasions when a claim, comes out of, maybe it's, an injury that occurred a while back and a claim is filed and there's, a need for discovery. But most cases, the vast majority of cases that happen, the employer files a controversy on a claim. Say if it's for, medical treatment, they would have filed a controversy that, they're denying this particular treatment. If that occurs, for a controversy to be valid, they have to have medical evidence or some legal basis for that. So I'm not sure that I understand completely the denial of due process, since the employer wouldn't have denied the benefits in the first place unless they've done some basic discovery on medical treatment in order to deny the treatment in the first place. Now, there may be, like I said, there may be some instances, but that would be a relatively small number of those cases. So basically, the employee files a claim, gets injured. They file an injury report. They go to a doctor. Doctor gets treated. And the employer can pay or not pay. And if they are questioning the claim, they'll have the person examined by a doctor of their choice, which is what we heard some testimony on. And then they can either pay or deny the claim, or the treatment, or the various benefits that would surround that. And that is the way most cases, and I would say the vast, vast majority of the cases, are dealt with. So, like I said, the vast majority of them, the basic discovery should have been done by the time that the denial occurred. But, you know, that's not to say there wouldn't be instances where that would be a problem. But the law doesn't say that you have to have an examination. It says the board or the board designee may schedule examination when these certain aspects are found. So I think there's some room for those types of situations in the way the statute's written right now.
So does this only apply to disputed claims? Is that what you're saying?
Let me say that the vast majority of claims are injuries that occur. There really aren't controversies filed. They just, you know, the person gets hurt, they go out, they get their treatment, they get their medical benefits paid, they go, they get their payments for the time lost or the various disability benefits that may be due. And that's the vast majority of the cases, so that's probably 80% of the cases or more. And then there are a portion of the claims that for whatever reason they're denied. And again, those denials have to be based, and those are called controversies under the law, have to be based on evidence or a legal basis.
All right. Can I continue on?
Keep continuing, yes.
Just so I'm clear on this, so a normal claim under Section C of 2330.110, you get the opposing party files a claim, and you give the other party 10 days to file their response. And if there's no response, you have a hearing in 60 days. Right? We're clear, right?
If there's no response, that's correct.
Right, okay. And then if there's a response, then you go through your due diligence. But you talk about in here that they come prepared with evidence and their counterclaims and all this other stuff. Now, I guess two questions in relation to that. Do you have expedited hearings now? And if you do, what criteria would this fall under as far as notification of the other party, as far as your timeline? I mean, what does expedited hearing actually mean?
Well, this means is this will give these types of cases where someone can show, and by the way, I don't think the board would rely on its own prognosis or diagnosis. They would be relying on medical evidence in the way of medical reports to make this determination whether there, you know, reaches that level of this treatment may be needed and need for expedition. But if that determination is made by the board or by the board designee, then that would be set on for a hearing. And the way this would be interpreted is this would give it a right to some preferential treatment over other standard types of cases, so that it could be put before other cases on an expedited basis.
Should we explain that in the bill? I mean, should we put a timeline in here to make sure that all that's covered? Think about the process so that, because what I'm hearing from the people testifying is they don't believe this is fair, and they're from both sides. Right, they're afraid one of the other ones going to beat them to the board or whatever, and the other side won't be prepared to answer that. And if he had a friendly hearing officer, because this isn't the board, this is a designee of a board, which I assume would be a hearing officer.
Yes.
And then you have all, I mean, you don't know who that could be until you appoint that person. So I'm a little reluctant to go much farther on this either without having that defined a little better.
To the chair, the designee would only be determining whether the expedited hearing should be scheduled, not determining the underlying decision as to whether these medical benefits should be, you know, allowed or not allowed.
Okay.
So it would still go before the board.
Two more questions. One, to make all parties mad at us, what would happen if we took out the language upon request by a party and put on request by both parties? What would that do?
Well, that would, if both parties are requesting it, then the payment could be made. There wouldn't be any
Well, that's what I asked you earlier. If this is a disputed claim, correct? They're requesting to negotiate. In other words, the board's help in determining. I don't know if it's liability or payments or what.
I'm not sure, Senator Torgerson. I'm not sure I understand that. But I think the vast majority of the cases, there would be a dispute or denial. So there would be one side would be wanting to go to hearing, the other side wouldn't be necessarily.
My problem is there's nobody in favor of this except the sponsor. I mean, maybe other people here, but the people testifying are not saying that this is, you know, that there's a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Because both the employee or the employer. So I'm looking for a remedy.
The last
question I have is dealing with somebody suggested on the last sentence that to put serious physical, to avoid serious physical harm instead of just having physical harm.
I think they said permanent physical harm, wasn't it?
Well, I thought I heard.
Permanent.
I wrote serious down when they. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Well, that would give it some sort of what level we should be looking for. I think that would.
Either one of those might be acceptable, but
give us a way of distinguishing it from just, you know, I will say this, and I often say it, everybody believes that their case is the most important case.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to, you know, but some cases need to be heard sooner than other cases for whatever reason, you know, because of dire need or need for treatment or possibly because of, you know, poverty situations or, you know, there's any number of things. But this does give us, this gives the board a tool of, being able to make those kinds of distinctions between cases because really they come before us to all are equal.
We're running out of time here. You want to make one comment to Senator Torres?
Mr. Chairman. Reneva Moss, Representative Cargill's office. I wanted to address a couple of things. Through the chair, Senator Torgerson, this bill was heard in House Labor and Commerce. There was approximately 15 people who testified, all in favor of the bill. It passed through Labor and Commerce unanimously. It passed the House unanimously without any objections from the public, either during or after the testimony. Last spring, when we introduced this bill, we faxed a copy of it to AWCA? And asked for comment. We received no comment. Mr. McKeever talked to us last week. We asked for recommendations. We got no recommendations. And when an employer files a controversy, they do have the medical information that they base that controversy on. So the medical information is available for an expedited hearing. All this is intended for is to give workers' comp a vehicle to address, and I don't think Representative Coghill would have a problem with adding the word serious, to address injuries that are not getting medical attention. And as far as the medical board is concerned, they may think this is redundant, but the fact of the matter is that the law does state that the physician only has to be licensed in the state in which he resides.
Thank you for your comment. I don't think we're going to be able to push this out of here today. Just because we're running out of time and there's too many things that are left undone, but I'd just like to say that to the people in Anchorage that to follow Senator Torgerson's comment about the concept of both parties, I think that has some merit, both parties agreeing to an expedited hearing. I'd like to ask Senator Representative Coghill, we can't do it now because the next committee is lined up outside to get in. That's why, Anchorage, that's why we're closing this off, because the next committee meeting starts 2 minutes ago. So.
Thank you.
But we'll work with it. I appreciate everyone's comments in Anchorage, and thank you for staying with us. With that, we're going to adjourn the hearing. For the committee's benefit, we will have a meeting on Tuesday, the 19th, with three bills. But
could you go get my folder?